Welcome back. I think what I want to share with you now are seven words that change minds. I think that when you think about words, there's a lot of words that we say every day that don't mean a whole lot. But there are seven words that you can use that have been shown to actually impact and create cause in other people's minds to get them to say yes when they otherwise would have said no. And I do want you to write these down, and I'm going to sort of describe them a little bit, explain why they work and how to utilize them. The first word that I want you to write down is the word because. And the word because is a cause-effect word. And cause-effect is very important in how other people think. People think today it rained and the golf game was really bad, so the rain caused the golf game to be bad. Or today it snowed and the TV reception was great, so the snow caused the great TV reception. That's how we all think. We all want to think that whatever just happened caused something else. Well, the word because literally has the same effect on the human mind. What that means is that, well, just remember this scenario when you were a kid. Remember when, Kevin, I want you to go to bed. But Mom, can I stay up and watch Star Trek? Please, can I stay up? It's the episode with the Gorn, with Captain Kirk and all that, please. Kevin Lynn, that's the middle name technique. That was also very effective, but that's parenting, a whole different thing. Kevin Lynn, it is time to go to bed. But Mom, why do I have to go to bed now? And what did she say? Because I said so. Ah, you had the same mom I did. That's what I was thinking. So you can see that when a person says because, it sort of has its roots as a child. You're literally programmed to do whatever is said after because. So you could literally say, you know, I'd really like you to go out with me Tuesday night because it means a lot to me. And people, because of the cause-effect inference, they literally will respond to it. There was a great study done in the 1970s that's been replicated several times. In those days, there were copy machines in the university hallways where the students would line up and make copies. And essentially, the study that with the word because went kind of like this. First of all, the assistant for Dr. Ellen Langer, this is her study from Harvard, make sure we give credit where credit's due. Dr. Langer had her assistant stand at the back of a line and say, hey, could I cut in line because I need to make some copies? As if, of course, all the other people didn't need to make copies as they stand in line. So 94% of all people said sure and let the assistant cut in line because she needed to make copies. When they took the word because out, and that was the only change, in other words, hi, can I cut in front of you? I need to make some copies. 60% said yes, just for asking, but the word because increased the response rate by 50%, 57% if you want to get exact. Now, I took this piece of information in 1986 when I was working at the National Kidney Foundation, and what I did is I took the presentation, the script that they utilize for telemarketers, fundraisers, i.e., and all we did at the end of the presentation, it was a one-minute presentation, very fast, and the only thing we did is put, because it's really important. That's it. Had the same standard presentation, please donate, because it's really important. We had a 30% increase, it was about 28.5, but it was almost 30% increase in donations per phone call based upon that single word phrase being in there. So if you can utilize the word because as you communicate, it's a great word to utilize. Now, the next word is now, N-O-W, now. Now I want you to think about this conversation when you were a kid. Mom, can I go to the singers next door and play? No, son, you can't. Why don't you go upstairs and go to your bedroom? By the way, that was pretend. We didn't have it upstairs. We had, yeah. So anyway, Mom, please can I go over to the singers and stay over their house today? Son, get to your room. Oh, Mom, come on, please. Now. Remember that? And then what did you do? Did you continue to debate and negotiate? And no, you never negotiated past now, did you? Why? Because the very next thing that's going to happen is a very unpleasant experience. Now, the amazing thing about the word now is that as you utilize the word in advertising, in communication, verbal, okay, in written communication, you get the same instantaneous response that you did when Mom said it, and you don't have to say it in like that real threatening, rough and tough voice. You can literally say, you know, I really want you to participate in this program now, and then continue with whatever you want to say. And it makes a similar difference to the word because. Now, those are two of the really cool words. Next one is imagine. About 10 years ago, there was a vehicle, Mercury Sable, and it was the best-selling car of the year. I believe it was 96. Could be wrong on that. Anyway, their slogan was, imagine yourself in a Mercury now. Okay? So literally what they did is they took the now, which is very smart, and then they used imagine. Imagine is a great word because you're not telling a person to do something. There's no resistance to it. Literally, they're simply saying, receiving the message, imagine. That's all. Just imagine that you own this product. Imagine that you own the service. Imagine that you're thinking about this. It is an enormously powerful, powerful word, and you want to utilize that as often as you can. It has no resistance attached to it. And it's one of the very few words that you can say that has no resistance attached to it. Next up, please and thank you. I know this is stunning, but it really matters. When you say, would you X for me, please, or please would you, or would you, I want to thank you in advance for doing X, Y, Z, please and thank you are enormously powerful words. They're so powerful that we have imbued them with the phrase magic words, right? Please is the magic word, yes? Well, written advertising, marketing, selling, once again, you have the same exact response. This word continues to increase response, even though people are aware that it's often utilized for the express person purpose of getting someone to say yes. Now, a person's name is the next one. Write down a person's name, not like Bill, but whatever this person's name is that you're going to communicate with. Now, here's a very tricky situation. If you overuse a person's name, overuse it, like if I say, hi John, Kevin Hogan calling from Citibank, I'd like you to buy our security protection program for your credit card where you'll be able to have all your credit cards covered. And John, you have an opportunity to XYZ, and John, you have an opportunity to ABC. Now John, which would be best for you if you A or B'd? Okay, well, there's a fascinating thing and it's called an inverse curve. And what happens is like this, okay? When you use a person's name once, their rapport value goes high, 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 big, big, big. As you use it a second time, it levels off. As you use it a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time per hour or per month, sometimes per minute when you're talking to a salesperson, it goes way down. But when you use it at the beginning and at the end of your communication with the person, so in other words, hi, John, blah, 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 we're talking for 45 minutes. You know, John, it has really been nice talking to you, and I want to thank you for meeting me today. Boom. End, beginning. Now you have the curve and you have amazing results. If you use the person's name in that way, you increase your sales. If you utilize it throughout the presentation, you will lose sales because people will feel manipulated whether or not they're being manipulated. Okay? So the name is tricky. It's really powerful. Huge power. Huge power. But think about this too, and don't forget this. When you get a piece of mail in the mail and it's addressed to, like for me, Kevin Hagan, H-A-G-A-N, you don't either, right? You don't look at it, you don't open it, because the person doesn't know you, it's propaganda, off it goes, right? So it's better to simply ask what a person's name is. And by the way, you always want to find out your name, the person's name. And if you're traveling internationally, this becomes even more important. When you work abroad, people don't run their names on American soil. You know, my son's name, Mark, would be Merrick in Polish, for example. Jessica would be Jessica, okay? And so the names are very, very different, okay? So when I was in Poland the very first time and I was doing autographs one day, I had a hard time trying to figure out how to spell names and say names. And a man named Piotr came up to me one day and he says, can I get your autograph? It would mean a lot to me. And of course, I'm always happy to do that. And I said, what's your name? Piotr. I said, Piotr? You know, I didn't get it right the first couple times. And he says, oh, you can call me Peter. And I thought, no, I really can't. I go, I will learn your name. Piotr. Ah, that's it. And he would keep, that's it. And he got it. And you do that with each person that you meet, and their respect level for you dramatically increases. Okay. So we have now, we've got because, please, thank you, imagine, the person's name. And then there is the concept of control words. I always tell people, I confess to being a control freak, okay? A control freak is a person who likes to be in control. I contrast this with an out-of-control freak, okay? An out-of-control freak is somebody who has no control whatsoever over anything. So you decide which one you would prefer to be. But here's the facts. The facts are that people need locus of control. Fancy psychological jargon for saying we need to be in charge of whatever is going on around us, and we have to believe that we're creating cause-effect things all around us. We're causing stuff to happen. So anything, any word that you can use that persuades someone that they're in control, even the word control, like you're in total control of the situation, or you're in charge of the situation, in charge. Any words that equal control, locus of control within Kevin, are good words to use in selling, and they will increase your sales. People do not feel in control of their lives, and the one thing that they desperately, desperately want is to feel in control. And when people feel out of control, they feel as if there's a lot of danger around. Now, speaking of danger, we move from the